words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
The sermon for today, the second Sunday in Advent, titled Comfort of the Scriptures. The sermon is by the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, Jr., late Metropolitan. Because of today's epistle and the imagery today's college borrows from it, the second Sunday in Advent is known as Bible Sunday. St. Paul tells us the scriptures were written for two connected purposes. The first is to teach us what we need to know about ourselves and about God. He writes, "Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for your learning." The second, related purpose, is to give us hope, what the Collect calls the blessed hope of everlasting life in our Savior, Jesus Christ. The hope we get from the Scriptures is a certain hope, a guaranteed hope. It is not uncertain hopefulness on the level of, I hope I go to heaven, but I can't really be sure. If you have committed yourself to Christ, heaven is a certainty, not a possibility. Christians can be confident of the ultimate happy ending. That most important piece of learning helps remind us that Christianity is a religion of revelation. What we believe about God is not what we have thought up by our own best efforts, but instead what he has told us. What he has revealed, the first and most important deposit of that revelation is the Bible, and the Holy Ghost has continued to help the Church discern and apply God's revelation throughout history, just as Jesus promised he would. Today's Gospel takes up a subject which we would never have been able to think up on our own. We have to hear the word of God himself to find out about it. The scene comes during the last week of Jesus' earthly life, the time after Palm Sunday when the crowd thought he should have been doing less teaching and more recruiting of an army to fight the Romans. Jesus takes the disciples to the hill overlooking Jerusalem, which is called the Mount of Olives. He wants to discuss the issue of the end of the world. He wants to do it there because Old Testament prophecy associated the coming of the Messiah and the end of the world with the Mount of Olives. Jesus reveals to the disciples that someday the world is going to end, and he is going to come back to earth. The signal that those things are beginning to happen will be major disruption in nature, both in the sky and on the land. When the disruptions start to occur, that will be as sure a sign that he is coming back as new leaves on trees are a sure sign that summer is coming back. He contrasts two possible attitudes toward the disruptions, the signs of the end. People who don't understand what is going on, those who do not know or do not believe the word of God, those people will be in a state of complete terror. Jesus says that their hearts will fail them because they will be so afraid about the upheavals on earth and the shaking of stars and planets in the sky. He prophesies upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity. He tells the disciples not to be terrified, but instead to be happy and optimistic when they see the signs of the end. He says, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Christians will have nothing to fear and everything to be excited about. The sooner the signs appear, the sooner Jesus will come back. The sooner Jesus comes back, the sooner we shall go to heaven. We shall be able to remain calm in the midst of all the disruption, because God has revealed to us what is going on, and we believe Him. As St. Paul puts it, we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, have hope. And now, unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen.